When you look at Tampa and you look at Toronto, are they more similar or different than one another?
Similar. They play with speed. They play with a lot of firepower up front. They tend to get really wide open, and they depend on their goaltenders an awful lot to bail them out.
So when one team, and listen, you played and you've covered the game for a number of years, when two teams are more similar than different, how do you get an advantage? Like, I can understand, like, the Maple Leafs just played the St. Louis Blues. St. Louis grinds you every shift, and that is their MO, and that's the style clash there. But when you have two teams that are so evenly matched by skill, by position, by all of, even behind the bench, how do you gain an advantage in a game like that?
I think it literally comes down to success in making your plays and certainly scoring. The team that grabs it first, the momentum means an awful lot, I think. You build on that and you force the other team to either shrink away and lose their confidence, or, you know, you challenge them basically to get their game going and get back at you. If both teams are on even footing, and I think we've seen that a fair amount between these two teams over the last year or so in particular, where, I mean, it's breakneck speed. It's a big-time counter game. You get rush chances, and then there's, you know, maybe a glaring turnover, or maybe it's just a great play, and all of a sudden the other team just going like hell the other direction. So it makes for exciting hockey. It gets wide open, and the more wide open it gets, the more the skill players get a chance to tear you apart. And with all the skill that there is there, that means the goalies are not sleeping very well this afternoon.
There's no afternoon naps for the two goaltenders tonight?
The eyes are closed, but I think they're going in circles while the eyes are closed.
Stewie.
Braden Point makes his season debut tonight. Are they going to ease him into the lineup? Is he 100%, or are they going to throw him right into the fire and play a major minutes right away?
Yeah, I would think he'd play major minutes. I think, you know, in most cases now, the way they treat injured athletes in our game is that they don't let you back in until you're 100, unless it's the playoffs. That's a little bit different. So I fully expect him to get back in and just hit the ground running. He's a very intelligent player. He's got dynamic skills that speaks for itself. So I would expect that, you know, he would get in there. He's got to get up to speed, though. I mean, even as good as he is, the other guys have been playing more. So there'll be a little stopping and starting, and, you know, his timing may be a little bit off. So that'll be the interesting part. And if it shows up a little bit early on, maybe he eases him off a little bit. He's a matchup guy. He's going to play against Matthews or Tavares one way or the other, I would expect. I don't think, just, you know, from what I've seen of Braden Point, I don't think he's going to miss a beat for very long. It might be a little jumbled for 6 or 8 minutes, but I have confidence in him that you're going to see the Braden Point of old pretty quickly, I think.
You know, of those players that are in his class, like his immediate peers, you know, that group that we just saw go through the RFA situation in the offseason, whether it's Mitch Marner, whether it's Antti Rantanen, whether it's, you know, Sebastian Aho, Matthew Tkachuk. The one point, Brian, that I've always gone out of my way to try to make to people about Braden Point is the one thing that he has that that other group doesn't, that the rest of the group doesn't, is he's a legit scoring threat. Like, he's a wonderfully gifted playmaker, plays with elite guys, all of it. But the one thing that distinguishes Point from everybody else is he can shoot. How do you see Point in regards to and under that umbrella in the context of all of his RFA peers from the summer?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wish he would shoot more. And the coaches get on him. I think even Kucherov gets on him. The other guy's like, shoot the puck, Braden. I mean, you know where the back of the net is. He went through that progression from when he was a rookie through last year, where he got better and better. You know, as a rookie, he'd make plays, and we didn't even know him then. And he'd get to the front of the net, and he'd shoot, and you could literally see his jaw drop like, oh, my God, that didn't go in. You know, so he literally had to get used to NHL goalies.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't take him that long, relatively speaking. I mean, he found the back of the net. He's got a terrific release. He's got really soft hands. He's got quick hands. And his entire hockey being is quick. He can accelerate. He can juke you, you know, turn you inside out. He's got great change of speed. I've always been a big believer of, I know my fear as a player was, guys with great speed is one thing. Guys who can change speed and leave a little extra gear or half gear, those are the ones that scared the hell out of me. And Braden can do that. And I think he's really learned that, to leave a little. So even when he's traveling fast, he can hesitate and then hit the floorboards and really do something to you. And then he's got great vision and everything else that goes with it. So, but he is a terrific shooter. When he gets in the middle, the bumper guy, whatever you want to call it, on the power play, you know, on Kucherov's side, he's a righty. He gets some incredible passes from Kucherov and from Stammer. He can either dish or shoot, but he's not afraid to pull the trigger. And he's just got that scoring thing, you know, about him. Scorers, how do you explain that? Yeah, they hit the net, the same place the fourth line guy does, but it goes in. You know, you explain that to me and we'll both know. But all I know is he will make a huge difference tempo-wise to the team. And, of course, the power play should be that much more efficient. Whether it is in his first shift, I don't know. But the combination of Stamkos, Kucherov, and Point had more power play goals than 24 teams in the league.
Wow.
Kevin Shattenkirk has 2 goals in 3 games. How is he settling in with the groups and signing in the summertime?
Good. It's still a process. He's getting used to a team that plays very differently than his Ranger team last year. I think he's going to change partners tonight. It's kind of what it looked like. It might be with Braden Coburn tonight. His first few games, he was with Victor Hedman. And so there are advantages certainly to that because Victor is one of the best in the game. But he's a very different player. Victor's extremely active, and he'll surf across defensively and in the neutral zone from his own side and just gobble up the winger on the opposite side of the ice, literally right in front of Shattenkirk or whomever he's playing with. And when Hedy does that, he played with Anton Stroman for years and years, even on the Swedish team. And Anton, you know, would see it coming and knew what to do. Well, I think it surprised Shattenkirk a few times because it surprises everybody. And Victor Hedman, you know, has that kind of style because he has the speed and he has that hockey sense. And it's just the way he plays, you know. So you let Victor Hedman do whatever Victor Hedman wants to do, because you don't turn a thoroughbred into a plow horse, right? So let him go. But it's a little more difficult to play with Victor than people think. You just have to get adjusted to it. It's a great thing, don't get me wrong, but you have to get adjusted to it. So I talked to Kevin Shattenkirk again this morning, and he said, yeah, I've had a couple of those moments where I went, oh, okay, that's what he does. Yeah, okay. And even, you know, when they're exchanging the puck in the offensive blue line, like, I can see him moving and he's different. Like, Shattenkirk played most of his minutes in New York last year with Frederick Claesson, who's not only not with the Rangers anymore, he's in the American League in Carolina's organization. No disrespect to Mr. Claesson, but he's not in the league. So you go from Frederick Claesson in most of your minutes to Victor Hedman. You got a bit of a culture shock, even though Shattenkirk's got a lot of experience. And Shattenkirk has played mostly with stay-at-home guys in his career in his St. Louis efforts as well. So, again, a very different look. So I think that's part of the reason. And, of course, he's only been here for a handful of games, and it is early in the season, so the coaching staff wants to see him with different combos. And it's not just about Kevin, of course. It's about the 6 guys. And what does it look like? What does it feel like? Where does he need to play? I don't think that's been settled yet. And so he'll be with more of a stay-at-home guy with Braden Coburn tonight.
I want to get your thoughts, Brian, on another, with Brian Engblom, Tampa Bay Lightning color analyst. I want to get your thoughts on another defenseman, a young one, poised to become an RFA, and here we go again. Mikhail Sergachev, fell in love with his game, watching him play with the Windsor Spitfires. Rocky Thompson did such a wonderful job getting him ready for the pro environment. Where is the Lightning at with Mikhail Sergachev? Point was an RFA. He went right down to almost the final moments before the season. What's the expectation for, you know, another one of these RFAs that we're looking forward to chasing in the summer? Is there any chance that gets done before the summer, or are we looking at Point 2.0?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you. That's up to the management. I mean, they really like the kid, and what's not to like?
Yeah.
He's a very intelligent person, first of all. He learned English like in a heartbeat, I guess, in when he was playing in junior over here. He's just an intelligent person, and he's very high hockey IQ, has terrific skills, great feet, excellent hands, really good stick handler, great shot. The only shot that he doesn't really have, which he's working on, is his one-timer, and that drives him crazy sometimes because he wants instant success. but he can play right side and left side. He was really the only guy on the team that's really good at it. I think he's going to play with Hedman, so he'll be on the right side tonight. He wants to play with Victor Hedman. I mean, you know, because he knows he's going to get more minutes. And I think he's going to get his wish at least tonight. How long it lasts, obviously, based on the success of the game, right? So that's up to Cooper. But he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. Yeah. He's still, like, you have stay-at-home style players like McDonough and Chernak and Coburn. I've already talked about it. Talked about Shattenkirk, who's not a stay-at-home kind of guy. He's an offensive guy. Sergachev is somewhere in between, still young and still trying to find his game. He's capable of a lot of offense. He's capable of having dominant stretches. They've been very careful with him, trying to make sure he pays attention to the defensive game. I don't know where he's going to end up. You know, what are we eventually going to call him 5 years down the road? Is he going to be a game-breaking guy? Possibly. I don't know. Time will tell.
You know what he's excellent at as well? I'm not sure if you've seen this in Tampa so far, but in junior he had these marathon table tennis matches with Rocky Thompson. He is outstanding, Brian, at table tennis. I'm not sure if he's shared that with the guys in Tampa. He's fantastic table. Yeah, great table tennis player. Stewie.
Wow, I'll have to ask him about that. Well, it's great for eye-hand coordination. Totally. I know a lot of players play ping pong, table tennis. It's great for you, and it's a great warm-up. It's a great focus thing. So it doesn't surprise me, that's for sure.
A lot of teams, you know, rely on their fourth lines. How's the fourth line doing right now with Pat Maroon being there? And I saw that Jamel Smith got sent down recently. Are they going to look to bring him back up anytime soon to round out that fourth line?
I don't think so. Seti Paquette's on the trip. Paquette got hurt at the end of training camp, the second last preseason game, I think it was. So he's not played yet. And he had an upper body injury, a shoulder, I think. He's on the trip, so he's got to be close. And he looked close in practice yesterday. So I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to play tonight. So Carter Verhaeghe will be the fourth line center. He has actually been a winger, I know, most of his pro career. And, of course, in Syracuse last year, he won the American League scoring title, and both goals and points. So he's got the hockey IQ. He has gone through a process where, you know, he's done a lot at the American League level but didn't have the speed in the NHL. He's better. They told him in the offseason, you have to get faster. If you want to play in the league, you have to get faster. And he is better. So he'll show spurts. He's a very intelligent player. I mean, you don't win the scoring title in the American League, which is a tough league, without being a good hockey player. And he had a really good training camp. That's why he's still here. So they rewarded him. So they moved him into center, sent Smith down. So I think that's what you're going to see tonight is Verhaeghe in the middle with Maroon on the left and Witkowski on the right. Now, those two guys are physical, obviously. Witkowski is actually a defenseman, but it's played forward in the NHL level because he's tough. And he's a banger, and he'll drop the mitts. Maroon, you know what you get with him. He surprised me, actually, at how good his hands are. To be honest with you, I know he's been in the league a long time, but I've never really, you know, had a chance to watch him closely. You know, you're busy watching a lot of guys at one time. He's got really good hands down low in the offensive zone. He hangs on to the puck, doesn't panic, doesn't throw it away to the front of the net as soon as he gets it. He hangs on. And he's going to get some power play time, too. He'll be hanging out off the edge of the net on Kucherov's side as the outlet guy, and then he's going to be the net front presence guy, and you can't move him. If he gets a lot of ice time there, Pat Maroon could have a really big year offensively because you know what those guys can do on the power play.
And on television, he may be the best walk-off interview of any player in the NHL.
Oh,
it's always
awesome.
Always cool listening to Pat Maroon. You know that as a broadcaster. Brian Engblom with us. Last question.
And you know, sorry, just one more thing with him. He has already in the preseason, like he walked by the Nashville bench in preseason and he went, none of that stuff anymore, guys. And he was yipping back and forth. I don't know if you saw it on Twitter.
Yep.
And then he made a reference. He rubbed his ring finger, right?
Yep.
So
he's
got that kind of personality.
Oh, no.
But also what it does is like the Lightning are not going to get pushed around. You know, Braden Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, they're not going to get run at like they were a lot of times last year.
Last one for you. We talked about this in hour one, and I want to get your thoughts on the young hockey player as well. I really love Anthony Cirelli. I think he's a heck of a hockey player. He is a big game guy. He's a big situation guy. He gets buried behind, you know, the traveling all-star team that is the Tampa Bay Lightning. What are your thoughts on Anthony Cirelli?
You nailed it. I love the kid. He is instantly got called up and just knew what to do. And he scored in his very first game. Was that 2 years ago when he got called up in Dallas? Made a heck of a play, scored on the short side on Ben Bishop, surprised him with the shot. Extremely intelligent, relentless on the puck, cuts the ice up into pieces, knows exactly how to forecheck, how to backcheck. He became a huge matchup guy from January on in particular. And it just has become a really dominant player. You're right. Because of the lineup, he gets moved down the chart. So he basically gets in a matchup role. I think he's going to see a fair amount of time against either, you know, one of the big lines out there. Yeah. He's been playing with Palat and Killorn. I think they'll be together tonight. Plays with Killorn a lot, for sure. But they get the job of, you know, shutting down whoever the hottest line is by halfway through the game because he's smart. He's an excellent penalty killer. He got 19 goals last year with not a lick of power play time. And I wish he'd get some. I think if he could get some power play time, I think he could be a 25-30 goal guy. He has got excellent hands. He knows how to score. And you're absolutely right. He's a big moment guy. I absolutely love Cirelli.
And scored the final goal ever at Le Colisée as the Oshawa Generals beat the Kelowna Rockets. He is Mr. Clutch Overs. Yeah, last goal ever scored in the Colisée is Anthony Cirelli, that legendary barn. Yeah.
I'll have to tell him that. Yeah, I'll have to tell him that. I don't know if he knows that. That's awesome.
I think he had a pair in that game too. His 2-1 overtime final, Oshawa Generals over the Kelowna Rockets, and Cirelli was front and center. Brian, always love your contributions. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll check in real soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.